Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Well, long time no talk, everybody. It's been 2 weeks, but we're back. Episode 358 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Droste, Jesse Velasquez, and 24 hours removed from the birthday boy himself, Justin Joyner. Has it been 48 hours? I'm losing my damn mind. Justin, what birthday was this week? 20.
Yeah, it was yesterday, buddy. This is okay. I'm extending it to the podcast, though. I'm still considering this my birthday because I actually get to answer the question here at the beginning of the pod.
Okay. Yes, because I said 24 hours, and then I was like, wait a second. For some reason, I immediately second-guessed myself. It's been a long week for me, but I'm here. I'm ready to go. Yes.
Because of Derrick Rose retiring?
Well, that... I got thoughts on... I got thoughts on that. I got thoughts on that in a second. Look at this. Justin Joy throwing me off already.
We're right back in rhythm.
Yes, I'll circle back around to that. Justin, since it was your birthday yesterday, what do you got in the glass tonight?
Well, I figured since this is basically still my birthday and we're coming off the heels of what I think to have been the best Grand Slam that AEW has put out into the world, I'm pouring myself an actual drink for the first time in like 3 months. So I have a glass of Elijah Craig that I will be sipping on during the podcast. And boys, we might have to get to any like heady stuff here at the beginning because it's probably not going to take much for me to be feeling this tonight.
You know, we got an old friend of mine from over at One True Sport in the chat room right now, Maddie, from over in Australia, I do believe.
Oh, and, holy smokes.
He might be partaking if you look at his username with us here as well. Maybe not in the booze, but something else. Good to see Matt in the chat. What are you doing, Jesse? How you been?
Life's okay. I see. Yeah, thank you, Maddie, especially living in Australia. That's some dedication right there. It's dedication to the craft. We appreciate your support. I am going to use a large vocabulary word because I truly believe that I think this where this podcast could be heading, and I heard it from Mark Briscoe last night. We could be headed for some vociferous times, gentlemen.
Nice. Look at that. Great job, man. Great way to bring this full circle of pro wrestling. I love that. 9:14 p.m. in West Australia. Maddie is
just about to ask Maddie what time it was over there. Brilliant. 9:14 a.m. Wow.
That is dedication. Matt, are you going to be going to the AEW show in Australia? I hear the tickets are moving kind of slow for that one. Not a huge AEW market, but that should be exciting coming up here in a few months. Let us know. Jesse, you got anything in the glass then?
I actually do. This will be the first time drinking since I think the week after my birthday. So I think it's 1 month. Exactly. Sweet. I poured what was left of my studio distilling rye whiskey. It's not much. I think it's like 2/3 of a shot. So It
works.
Same thing. Get all of the clear-headed stuff in the first 15, 20 minutes of the show, and then I think the viewers or the listeners are going to be in for a treat for the rest of this show.
Well, I mean, luckily, if you and me indulge a little bit too much, Jesse, and if like we start to feel a little woozy and we might, you know, fall over and hit our heads, luckily, we don't have to worry about CTE or concussions anymore. They're not a thing. Austin solved it.
Don't you hate that when these guys who you have admired, you see them on a documentary and they just totally ruin everything for you when it comes to their image and, you know, where they stand on certain important aspects of life. Steve Austin, Justin, your take on that in the Facebook group was so good.
It's just, it's stunning how dumb of a comment that is, especially for someone who has most certainly had concussions. But hey, I'm pro. If this is all it takes to, you know, not have to suffer things, I have officially stopped believing in hemorrhoids. So don't have to worry about those anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't believe it, don't believe in it. It's not real. According to Stone Cold, that's the bottom line.
My new favorite Steve Williams now is Dr. Death. There it is.
I met Dr. Death one time here at the Trago Stez Hall of Fame. A good man. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Where did Justin go? Justin, come back.
You guys froze on me. You guys froze on me.
Oh, okay. Well, he's back.
I thought I got booted for a hemorrhoid joke.
Or you took two or three shots and all of a sudden you figured out where the button is to remove yourself in the video.
So you said Derrick Rose, Justin. Derrick Rose is my favorite basketball player of the post-Jordan period. No question about it.
Okay.
Maybe my favorite athlete post-Jordan period. I mean, several years there, he was always must-watch TV for me as a longtime Chicago Bulls fan. And then, of course, for a handful of years, I mean, he was top five player in the NBA, had the Bulls right back in the mix. And then that torn ACL in the 2012 playoffs. Derrick Rose is like the ultimate what-if for me in sports, at least in my fandom. Because that team, you know, they won 62 games in 2011, and then I think they won right around 60 in 2012, and he tore his ACL in the first game of the playoffs. They were the number one seed, best defense in the league, arguably. They had a good offense that year, too. Who knows how far they could have gone that year? But then think about this. They had just drafted a young Jimmy Butler. If Derrick Rose does not tear his ACL, and he's the top five player, Derrick Rose, the next few years, Jimmy Butler becomes what he was, an all-star, right, playing next to Derrick Rose. You still got Joakim Noah, you know, playing at a high level. Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, who was awesome at that time. That is definitely a team that could win an NBA title. So, I mean, that's still pretty depressing for me to think about. I've never had an injury derail one of my teams quite like that. And, I always hope that he could get back to what he was. And I see Ryan Huffman talking about he was at the game in Minnesota when he dropped 50 points. And, you know, he would have sparks post Bulls life, you know, here and there. But of course, he was never that top five player again. When I saw that the Grizzlies released him, I thought for sure the Bulls, who were tanking this year, would sign him for like a 1 year farewell to sell some tickets. Maybe he wasn't interested in that. But then I see, Justin, that this clown show organization cannot even sign him to a one-day contract to retire a Chicago Bull because they have too many people under off-season contracts. They just can't do it, according to a Chicago Bulls reporter with the Tribune, I believe.
I'm assuming that all 21 of those guys who are signed are just too good of talents that you wouldn't want to let them go for a nice feel-good moment.
Man. Yeah,
they're all keepers, Ryan. You're going to be hearing from all of them down the road.
What a joke. What an absolute joke of an organization. How depressing. But wish D. Rose well in retirement, of course. Great memories. We'll be watching those highlights for a long time. Great player, great dude all around, and will be missed in the NBA. That is for sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been keeping real busy, you guys.
They've only been really good for, what, 2-3 years out of the 26 since their last championship, or 25?
Yeah, I don't even know. They've made the playoffs more times than that, but, I mean, they weren't.
Yeah.
contenders. It was pretty much that 2010 to 2013-ish period where they were true contenders. And then, you know, they played the Cavs really tough. And was it 2015 when Rose made that game winner against the Cavs in the East semis, I think it was? That was kind of like the last hurrah of that team. So, yeah, I mean, one Eastern Conference Finals since 98. Not great, Jesse. Not great.
Was D-Wade on that team? The size of
Chicago should do better. No, he wasn't on that team.
What number did Derrick Rose wear with the Bulls?
Number one.
One. Oh, yeah. That's a little bit too small of a number for Josh Giddey. Maybe have to up that number a little bit.
That number is going to be in the rafters pretty soon. Let's be honest. No one's going to be wearing number one for the Bulls. Yeah.
God definitely forbid. I mean, this guy was like for anybody who's a little bit newer to the NBA, Derrick Rose was, I don't know if the right word is like a more electric, but maybe a more skilled basketball player than the current version of Ja Morant. He was Ja Morant before there was a Ja Morant.
Yeah, but better.
Yeah,
I agree. More electric for sure.
I mean, yeah. won the MVP at 21, youngest MVP ever in the NBA. I mean, that's 20, incredible.
22, yeah. Yeah.
It just was incredible. I incredible.
Mean, his third season. It was his third season.
And it's not like it was in, a mid-90s post Jordan NBA. I mean, this is a crazy talented NBA that, you know, he won that MVP in. So yeah. He will be missed. I really enjoyed it when he was with the Timberwolves there for a while, and I got to see him in person a couple times.
So yeah. His senior year, what would have been his senior year at Memphis ended up being his MVP year with the Chicago Bulls. Put that into perspective.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's wild.
And we might have to carry the show because Ryan has froze.
Ryan's frozen. I noticed he took a sip of alcohol and now he's frozen.
He didn't even tell us what was in the glass.
We've cursed ourselves. I saw it was an Easy Eddie that he had. I wonder if we're going to have to leave in order for him to get back in, because he's the one who lets us in.
Oh, that's an excellent question.
But then I would hate to lose all this absolute gold podcasting that we've mined here at the opening 10 minutes. Oh, there he left. Hopefully he comes back here in a second.
Well, I'll start his bit. So, I mean, it's been the first 12 minutes of the show, and well, in Ryan Drosty fashion, thank you so much, Top Rope Nation patrons, as you see the name scrolling on down the bottom there. I see you just fine, okay. Ryan. I'm just going to roll with this until you come back, or until you are back, but just going to roll and shout out those lovely patrons. For only $5 a month, you can support us. Thank you so much. We got classics coming up next Tuesday. Episode of Unplugged dropping Sunday night, which I'm looking forward to kind of reopening and getting that going on a weekly basis once again, since I think I've cleared the messy part of my schedule as well. So now back to your regularly scheduled program.
This happened to me on the Bears podcast last night too. I don't know what's going on with my internet just randomly dropping. I hope it doesn't happen again. It just vanished from my toolbar. I didn't even have my Wi-Fi selectable, and then it came back. So
computer. It might be our internet, because mine's been a little fidgety all night. It was freezing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was freezing while I was watching Cars for the 3,000th time with my sons earlier. So that was a real bummer.
I was going to say before I left, I know we've talked a lot of, pro basketball here. Sorry, wrestling fans. But real quick, I saw D Rose twice in person. His rookie year, I went to a game right around St. Patrick's Day in 2009. And then I saw him in 2011, that MVP season. And at halftime of that game was the 91 Bulls, and saw Michael Jordan in person too. So that was a hell of a game.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Scotty was there. I see Huffman asked in the chat, greatest Bull not named Michael. Got to be Scottie Pippen, despite what he's become lately. I mean, no question. Probably Rose after that. But yeah.
Got to see the penny. Oh, go ahead.
Was Jordan's kid hitting on Scottie's wife?
He may have been.
In the crowd.
They were in the luxury box just down from me and my wife. We were dating at the time. So we were kind of watching them. And Scottie and Michael were getting along during that game. You know, they're hanging out in the luxury box, but no longer. No longer.
Jordan's kid got into that luxury box, if you know what I mean.
Is it really a luxury box, Justin?
I don't know.
Justin, you speaking from experience?
Zach Wilson?
Whiskey.
Maddie, no, we're not near the hurricane, thankfully. But hey, I got a shout out. Since we didn't have a show last week, which is the first time we've taken a week off in quite some time, we did get a new patron last week. So shout out to Kyle R. It's not Kyle Ryan or Kyle Ross. It's a different Kyle. I don't want to say his last name wrong. I would probably pronounce it wrong. But I appreciate Kyle joining the Patreon page. We are going to be recording a new TRN Classics next week on the September 22nd, 1997 Raw is War. It's the first episode of Raw from Madison Square Garden. It's the one where Steve Austin gave the stunner to Vince for the first time. That's going to be a Patreon exclusive, our monthly classic. So you guys, if you want to tune into that and over 160 bonus podcasts that we have done, become a Top Rope Nation patron. It's patreon.com/Top Rope Nation. Check out the benefits. Starts at $5 a month for bonus benefits. Or you can join the TRN Plus page here on YouTube for $2.99 a month, which will get you access to the video version of TRN Classics, which is another way you can support the show. All right. Let's see. 15 and a half minutes into the show. Let's get to some pro wrestling.
We should actually go one more thing. Although Justin did shout it out as well, Ryan. But what is officially in your glass this evening?
Oh, yes. Easy Eddie from Big Grove Brewery. Nice kind of hazy, lighter IPA. Very refreshing. I was right before we did this show, you know, I was running down to the office to get on here. And I guess I'm going to take a little bit longer to not talk about pro wrestling. I apologize. We're just going to roll with this. I was working on my wife's car, which the air conditioning has gone out on for the, I don't know how many times now. I've had this car at the dealership this year at least four times. They cannot find the leak. This thing lost all of its Freon in 6 weeks. And so I'm trying to fill it myself so I don't have to pay hundreds of dollars every time until we get a new car. I just want to say, look, man, I am not anti-American. I would never, ever buy an American automobile again. Chevy Traverse, if you ever think about buying a Chevy Traverse, do not do it. Worst car I've ever owned. Absolute worst car I've ever owned. Worst design to this thing ever. So hard to get at the fill spot for the Freon on this thing. I was sweating bullets and I'm like, I got to get down there. Talk some pro wrestling. So I needed something refreshing. Big Grove Brewery. She'll be getting a Toyota for her next car. All right.
It'll last forever too.
All right. Here's my question for you guys. As you see the patrons' name scrolling across the bottom of the screen. Thank you, patrons. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns recently had this segment where they're on a football field down in Georgia. And I got to ask you guys, was this wrestling cinema or wrestling dog shit, Justin? What did you think of the Lucha Underground, WWE segment on SmackDown?
It was neither of those things, Ryan. It was not dog shit, and it sure as shit wasn't cinema. I think it was just them trying something different, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It was not necessarily for me, but I don't hate the fact that they're trying something new. You know, that there's nothing wrong with that to drum up some interest for this tag match. But I don't know, man. These days, I just can't watch something like that. Because a lot of the times, especially with WWE, I never watch live anymore unless you make me for the podcast for their PLEs. So I am often scrolling through Twitter to find out what's happening on Raw or SmackDown. And this is how I came across this segment with Roman and Cody. And yes, to anybody who's listening to a prior podcast, I am still on Twitter at the moment. I have not made the jump.
I've been watching for you on all those other apps. I literally have been searching your name every few days. Like, did he not tell me? Is he on Threads? Is he on Blue Sky?
I'm so lazy. So my thing is, you know, and I'm scrolling through Twitter trying to find out what's going on. And, you know, you would think by the way people are talking about this segment is that WWE just produced the greatest thing ever created in professional wrestling. And I have such a negative reaction to that kind of stuff that it's almost, even if it was like an A plus, you know, at best it might be a B plus for me, because I just can't get to that level when the tribalists are treating this like it is so much more than it actually is. So bad, no. Interesting, no. I think it would have been more compelling if it was actually live and in a ring. I'm sure fans would have much preferred that, who pay all that hard-earned money to go to those live events. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those, it is what it is kind of situations for me.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Definitely somewhere in the middle. It reminded me a lot of an add-on of like Fast and the Furious 6 or 7 or something like that. Something that Vin Diesel and maybe the long but not forgotten Paul Walker would have shot in the middle of either a football field or just some random parking ramp in Torino, Italy or something along those lines. I don't know. So, well,
yeah, actually, that's a perfect comparison, because like it is 100% created for an audience that is, you know, for the most part going to eat it up, just like with those Fast and Furious movies, of which, for the record, I am also not a fan of those since the first one.
Yep.
And you know, part of the reason is just it's so kind of the over the top bad acting, which is like, once again, put it in a ring in front of actual fans and I think it would have actually been really solid. But just the fact that it had this kind of, to me, corniness to it, just didn't work.
Yep. It was a little excessive. I mean, at least they made it in Atlanta, where Roman, of course, played football. Cody grew up. It's going to be where Bad Blood is taking place next Saturday. So they kept that part on brand. It was 6 minutes. It was short. It was very overproduced, but again, they are trying things different, more for a 2020 style audience, or maybe something, yeah, new age. Whereas like the Fast and the Furious passed me by after the original. I mean, I've heard that Fast 5 and beyond are a lot better, but I gave up on the series.
You know, that's the other thing about Reigns having played there, is like they treat it like he was this fucking world beater, you know, footballer. When that just wasn't the case, just like with The Rock in Miami, where like if you would just watch WWE documentaries, you think these guys were like Warren Sapp or Miles Garrett or some shit, which that just was not the case. I think he had like 6.5 sacks his entire career. So, I mean, that's another thing. It just kind of makes me cringe while I watch it.
Yeah. He was captain of the team his senior year. And then I think what's well known for that Georgia Tech squad was Calvin Johnson was on it. I think he might have been a sophomore or a junior at the time. So, and then Dwayne Johnson, yeah, Andrew just pointed it out. He was a backup to Warren Sapp when he was a senior, of all things. Mm-hmm. It took him a long time to get on the field. He was injured quite a bit, if you've ever read his book, from freshman to junior year on, and a little bit of a screw up too, just when it came to his education. So we have that going for us.
You guys just missed a perfect opportunity on a wrestling podcast to shout out. It wasn't like he was Steve Mongo McMichael.
Ah, there we go.
We're talk D-line. There you go.
There we go. Yeah.
Got a Mongo figure here somewhere.
Kevin
Remember
Green.
I bought this in Chicago. Was that last year?
Who found that for you?
I think it was you, Justin, wasn't it?
It was this guy.
It still has a price tag on it. Look at that.
Hell yeah. Ryan, unless you have something to add about that segment, I do want to pose the question to both of you or to Jesse, because I know you did see it. The big talking point to me right now, considering Bad Blood and, you know, especially this Cody and Roman thing, is what should main event? Because to me, it's clear cut. I don't think, even though the feud has really died down in my eyes, they missed the pink. Or the peak, they're kind of on the downhill slide of it all. I still think it should be Punk and McIntyre should be main eventing this thing, especially, and most interesting of all is the teasing of blood in the match.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Marino was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Yeah, I didn't really have any thoughts on the segment beyond you guys. I mean, my only other question I was going to ask you is this what pro wrestling is going to look like all the time in 5 to 10 years? I mean, I think it's, I'll come to your question here quick, Justin, but to wrap that up, I think it's definitely, it felt like Lucha Underground back in the day. You know, this is kind of how they did a lot of their stuff, that yeah. cinematic feel to it. I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of it. It's not like leaving me pining for more or anything like that. Like, yes, more of this style. So I agree. I'm more traditionalist. I'd rather have that out in front of the fans personally, like yeah. you said, Justin. But, you know, for trying something like that, I didn't think it was terrible. I just didn't think it was as great as some people are making out to be. It was like, yeah, it was fine. To the bad blood point, definitely should be Hell in a Cell. No question yes. about it. You know, I mean, I know people are going to say Cody and Roman as a tag team. It's got to be those guys, you know, top stars in the company. It doesn't have to be those guys. You got a gimmick match, a Hell in a Cell match. They're actually building these things up again, you know, the way that we have asked for years on this podcast for them to do so. They're not just doing a Hell in a Cell because it's the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. There's actually a reason for this to be a Hell in a Cell match. And they have this feud, which, you know, whether or not the matches have kind of under-delivered in some of our opinion, you know, since they started them, it's still like outside of the ring. You can't argue that it has been a well-built feud. And so, you know, friendship bracelets aside, it deserves the stipulation as much as any match would in 2024. And when you've got this storyline that they've been building up since basically January, that has to main event the show. Absolutely has to main event the show. Also, look, I'm gonna be honest. I don't want to see Solo Sikoa in a main event again. So there's that too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Jesse.
I'm with it. I think Cody and Robin should open the show, start there, give the Atlanta crowd something to feed off of going into the next few matches. And yeah, Drew and Punk should absolutely close the show, especially when Andrew pointed it out to get the anniversary of it on the actual night. So that'll be 27 years to the day of HBK Undertaker. Yeah.
Now, we did a show here years ago where we counted down our favorite Hell in a Cell matches and, you know, what we thought was the best Hell in a Cell. I think we did like the Mount Rushmore gimmick or whatever. And then it parlayed into a discussion on what we think is the best Hell in a Cell. Jesse, you weren't on the pod then. Not to put you on the spot out of nowhere, but what do you consider the best Hell in a Cell match?
The most memorable one easily for me is Undertaker and Foley. That's on the Mount Rushmore. It's not number one. I've watched HBK Taker, I think a year ago. I covered it. That's my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're, good. You're great story. Us, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the debut of Kane in a pretty solid way as well. HBK bumped like a maniac. It was a fun, just a fun match, and there hasn't been much better since. We could argue, maybe, was that Batista? Was that Batista Triple H?
Yeah.
Did we watch solid. That Vengeance 05?
Yep. Solid. Very
that,
solid.
That could be in the Mount Rushmore. I'd have to really think about the rest, though.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Most memorable Mankind and Taker, no question. But yeah, definitely. I would agree too. The best one is still the first one. I think people forget that original Hell in a Cell was a little bit smaller too. And I actually liked it a little bit smaller. Remember Sean was taking those backdrops in that match and his feet were like hitting the roof. I mean, I liked it was a little bit closer quarters. Now it's just like gigantic, you know, almost too big. But yeah, that one's really good. The one from, is it No Mercy 2002 with, I think Lesnar and Taker. That one's pretty mm-hmm. good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I for me, the first still the best. And so, yeah, with it being the anniversary of Bad Blood 97, you know, the last Bad Blood. Yeah, I think you got to go with this one. I don't think there's any question to me.
Yeah. That first Hell in a Cell was very War Games-esque with the cage. And that's the way that we like it.
Yeah, exactly. So they are getting rid of the Red Cell, right? We're not going to get the Red Cell again, like that big mistake back in the day. Andrew pointed that out in the chat too, and not the Red Cell. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be making a comeback anytime soon. What an eyesore.
Did we get a Hell in a Cell match last year? I don't even can't even recall, and I don't remember if it was the Red Cage or not.
I don't think so. Was it black? I can't even remember now. I have to look at a list. It definitely wasn't red the last time they used it. I got to look it up. List of Hell in a Cell matches.
Because Cody Rollins was 2022. So what was last year?
The last one.
They didn't get rid of it.
Mania 39, Edge and Finn Balor.
That's what popped up for me too. And that was a normal cage, which is kind of shocking considering who was still in charge at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I fucking hated that match.
Yeah. Agreed.
Stop because okay. Finn got accidentally cut.
Yes. Yeah. A Hell in a Cell match where they had to stop it because of.
I forgot blood. About that. Blocked that out of my memory. That's exactly. Right. That is what happened.
God, I wish I could.
Now, was that better than the 4.5-star classic at Extreme Rules in 2022?
Oh, you know what? It should be mentioned that Cody Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell was freaking awesome. That was yes. Like the only good, in my opinion, the only good Hell in a Cell match in the past like 15 years or so. That one was exceptional.
Tim calling out Rollins and the Fiend. Go back in the TRN Extra archives. Listen to the legendary show of Kyle and myself ranting on it for a half hour. You'll enjoy it. You got to be a patron to hear that one.
Oh, anytime boy, we I rant get it. Shit on that match. Oh, I love to do it.
Did you guys have anything else WWE related you wanted to talk about?
Should we bring up Jey Uso?
Oh, yeah, he won a title. Oh,
okay, yeah, there you go.
You know, it's just, here's the thing. It's just so, sometimes wrestling just surprises you. And especially when a jobber wins a title, that's like really exciting for a certain segment of the audience. And this is that case. You know, you got someone who all they do is lose. And they finally win a singles title. That was a lot of fun. I'm being a dick. But seriously, I mean, the crowd loved it. They ate it up. A lot of people are happy for him. I'm happy for Jey. They have done nothing since Gunther to make me care about that title. I am not heartbroken about Braun losing it. I'm not near as high on him as a lot of other people are. Curious to see where this is going. I can't imagine this is going to be a really long title reign, but we will see. Good for Jey. Who cares?
I would say like a little revisionist history here and had Jey Uso hold this title sooner, but then that would probably have eliminated Gunther's 666-day run. So I don't necessarily know if I wanted that.
Wait, hold on, Jesse. Do you think this would have meant more if it had been Jey to dethrone Gunther instead of Sami Zayn? I mean, if this was the destination, I mean, why not let him get the moment instead of Sami? Like, it was great that Sami had that moment, but you know, Sami was already a made man, and this could have been pretty exceptional if Jey had been the one to do it.
I've been saying this for how long now with Jey Uso to give him a meaningful singles run and then give him a championship. So, yeah, I think it would have made more sense to build them up through 2022 in a singles run. And then in 2023, have him dethrone Gunther. Or no, this year, have him dethrone Gunther. So the moment he switched over to Raw last year, he should have just kept on going. And then you could have had him win the title at WrestleMania. Yeah, I think that would have worked. And it would have replaced that hideous Jey versus Jimmy match, too. So I'm in the middle on this whole thing because, yes, I think this is a long time coming for Jey. And he actually has been winning a lot more, I would say, in the last few months than he had been in the last couple of years. So like, this is justifiable.
It's not hard to
and
do.
And then there's the other side with Bron Breakker, where he just won the title like a month and a half ago from Sami Zayn. And he's young. He's a guy that I know that you've been featuring. So it doesn't, that part just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it says something about perhaps how they're feeling about him in the back, maybe that maybe he's not quite what they thought he was. And he still has plenty of time to get there. I don't think this is a big loss for him. He'll probably end up getting it back. You know, Gunther had the title so long, just like with, you know, we were talking about some short reigns with Danielson because of MJF having it for so long. The same thing with the IC title, with Gunther having it so long. It's more palatable to have like these kind of quick exchanges of the title. Something that, you know, guys our age or fans our age who grew up in the fucking late 90s where this IC title was changing hands every fucking week, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I don't want a part of. I don't want this to be a revolving door. So I'm hoping Jay can either he holds this for a while or Bron wins it back here soon and then he holds it for a while. I mean, not saying too close to 2 years, but maybe like 6-7 months.
Yeah. Hey, nobody has gone harder after Jay Uso than my man, Jesse Velasquez on TRN Unplugged. So for you to give this thing a chance, that speaks volumes. So yeah, I mean, it's I definitely don't want to go back to that late 90s period where you had a quote unquote reigns that nobody remembers anymore because it was a hot potato all the time. So I hope he has it for a little while. Yeah, I mean, for Bron Breakker, he's not going to lose anything from this. I saw a few people on social media that were like, oh my god, where do they go with him now? You know, he just won it, he'll be fine. It's not that kind of an era anymore where you lose and, oh my God, you're way down the card. They'll just heat them back up. It's whatever. That's how wrestling is now, whenever they feel like it. So
their audience will eat up whatever they have in store. Yeah. Hey, look at who joined the chat.
Look at who's here. Mr. Maverick himself, Frank Pettiani in the chat. You love
says,
to see it.
Says he's given us 15 minutes. I think that's going to give us 14 minutes of cuddling time, buddy.
You missed the last 30 minutes, Frank. It's been a pretty entertaining show thus far. From an entertainment value perspective, it's up there in 2024 thus far. So hopefully we can continue that for the next 15 and going on.
Frank says, Bron is better on the chase and hungry. Yeah, probably. I agree.
Except, I mean, should that be the case with a heel?
Exactly.
Do we want a heel on the chase?
So should he be babyface then? Do you think he's better cast as a babyface?
Is he likable? I don't know. I know his dad isn't.
I mean, if he's like his dad, probably not. But, you know.
He did have a babyface promo at right after SummerSlam that they didn't, or that they showed in the, was it that, the scrum, right in the middle of the scrum. So he could definitely pull it off. But yeah, he's better off as a heel right now.
Yeah. By the way, WWE related, we are aware the Vince McMahon documentary is out on Netflix. I just have had zero time to start it yet. I'm going to try to watch it over the next week or so, maybe this weekend. We will comment on the entirety of it at some point on the show, but it's only been out for, a little over 24 hours. We haven't had a chance to do that yet. I don't know if these guys have watched any of it yet. I haven't watched any of it, just clips I've seen on social and things that I've read about it.
Yeah, I got to say, I was pretty excited for it, but seeing some of the... The weird thing is it's not shocking what people are saying about it. Hell, we said it 2 weeks ago is that it was, you know, probably going to be a little bit of a fluff piece, and that was its original intent of being more of a documentary for people who did not live it like we did. It's more for people who are casuals or you know, not into pro wrestling at all. And everything I'm seeing so far has kind of made me want to watch it less, especially when you have nincompoops like Austin saying CTE isn't real and you're given a platform for Hogan to spread his lies, which hopefully that is just so that people like Meltzer can pop up immediately after everything he says, be like, well, actually it was 78,000. Now, actually he was fine. He slammed Andre. No problem. You know, well, actually there was no question as to who was supposed to win at WrestleMania 3, that kind of, God willing, because if that is not the case, you're going to have casual audiences who watch this and think, oh, well, it's Hulk Hogan. Why wouldn't he be telling the truth right now when we all know he is completely full of shit?
Yeah. They've been spoon-fed WWE revisionist history since the beginning of time. So, mm-hmm. Of course, they're going to believe everything that they say. I think that what's going to be the most fun about these six episodes for me, if I do choose to watch it, would be to write down all of the funny things that are said by the Hulk Hogans, the Bruce Pritchards, even John Cena, I'm sure. Steve Austin with the CTE already. We've mentioned that as well. So, yeah, I think that'll be entertaining.
All the McMahon babies.
There's been some cool clips I've seen, because, like, Justin, when this was first revealed and we talked about it on the show, you know, you said, and I agreed, that one of the things we like about these is seeing footage you've never seen before.
Yes.
There's been, you know, some of that. Like, I saw today the clip of the guys playing, was it WrestleMania, the arcade game? It looked like in Stamford. And, you know, Brett was watching, and, like, Hunter was there early in his career playing it, and they were on the arcade system, and Taker was kind of rolling his eyes at him. That kind of stuff, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing. I know, as far as being factual, it's going to be a lot of revisionist history or stuff that they want you to believe. And a lot of the comments I've seen, I think the most laughable one outside of, you know, what Stone Cold said was maybe Vince McMahon complaining about Ted Turner signing away his talent, the guy who raided the territories and did the exact same fucking thing in the mid and early 80s. Come on, Vince. It's the same thing you did, and trying to act like it was somehow different. It wasn't different at all. It was the same thing. He's just boohooing and wanting sympathy for that.
I'll say this. At the end of this episode, I'm going to talk about a wrestling-related show on Netflix that is worth your attention. I think more so than this Vince McMahon documentary.
Yeah. So we'll come back to that. Let's transition to AEW. We'll talk more about the Vince documentary maybe next time out on the show when we've all had a chance to take it in. So AEW Grand Slam, Justin, you mentioned you thought it was the best Grand Slam show that they have had. You know, they opened in a great way with Nigel and Brian out there. Mm-hmm. I thought the tag title match was very good. We've got now Brian's challenger set for the next pay-per-view at Wrestle Dream up in Washington State. A lot of big news coming out of this show. Let's start with Moxley and Brian. So Moxley, you know, wins against Darby. So now he's going to challenge Brian at Wrestle Dream. And I know a lot of the rumors out there was that, you know, Brian would retire at that show, 'cause it's close to where he's from and everything. And I think we talked about this on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago about, you know, the possibility of Darby taking the title from him, possibility of Moxley taking the title from him. Do you guys still think this is going to be his last match with Moxley challenging him? Or what do you think, Justin?
If I was a betting man, I would say yes, because I think it's a really bad look to have a newly established heel lose in their first big pay-per-view match. I think what they're building to, and I know you guys were not very keen on it when we talked about it last time, as far as, you know, Darby being champion, but I think that is what we're building to here is, you know, Darby lost to Mox in my opinion, the match of the night. And I think Mox is going to beat Danielson to become a 4-time AEW world champion. And then down the road, the story that they're telling is that Darby's finally going to overcome Mox to become world champ. You know, Mox said he wasn't ready 5 years ago. He wasn't ready 1 year ago. He's not ready now. That's, to me, all signs are pointing to this is the final destination. When they pull that trigger is the question. How long of a run are they going to give Mox? But yeah, it's a little disappointing, in my opinion. I was really hoping for them to go back to Swerve, although what they might be doing with Swerve is pretty enticing, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, for Danielson to you know, quote unquote, lose his full-time career to Mox, who has already been champion three times, is a little bit of a letdown. But also, you know, I think it's kind of undeniable that Mox is the ace of AEW. So if it's going to go to somebody, you just as well strap up the newly crowned heel of AEW, I suppose.
Hmm. That makes logical sense for sure. I really don't like that direction though. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't want to see Moxley with the world title, and I really don't want to see Darby with the world title. Like, none of that excites me at all. I don't want to see that. So when Moxley became the challenger, I'm not set that he's going to beat him. I actually am going to go the other way. I'm going to say he's not going to. What if Darby helps Brian retain, and then you have those two Washingtonians out there celebrating together at the end of the show?
That's not a bad idea. And there's another guy that I'm curious as to what side he's going to take, in Wheeler Yuta, especially considering, you know, this whole thing is about where were people 5 years ago and where they are now. And you think about how, you know, some of the young guys that a lot of fans were hoping AEW would push, sure seems like they might be out the door when you think about Ricky Starks and Daniel Garcia. And the person I'm alluding to is Wheeler Yuta. I'm not the biggest Wheeler Yuta fan, and I'm not here saying that, you know, let's push him to be world champ, but I think he does need a big push because, gosh, man, I do think Garcia's out, which really stinks. Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea at all. But then that just drums up the question is, and this is my big thought about Grand Slam overall, is I think it was a success top to bottom, because I'm very curious as to where all these title situations and feuds are going. World title, tag title, you know, not so much the FTW title, good riddance. I don't know, man. I'm not as down as at the prospect of Mox being world champion, but I definitely hear you,
Jesse.
I'm in Ryan's camp here. I don't know if this contradicts what I said a couple of weeks ago about Darby not being world champion, but I would have liked to have seen him defeat Moxley last night. At least it makes sense, or Justin made sense of it all by saying that he can come back later, get his win over Moxley, maybe even for the world championship. I think it would have been nice to see Darby in Wrestle Dreams main event for the second year in a row in his home state against another Washington native.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to see a Bryan Danielson Darby Allin match ever in AEW just because of this. So I do see Danielson retaining here as well. I think, again, Moxley is the ace, undisputedly. There's zero question about it. I just don't, he doesn't need the championship. That's what I said a couple weeks ago. And yeah. I understand it's like, this is a time where you don't need a transitional champion, even though we have one technically in Bryan Danielson, but give the guy a run. And it seems like he's going to be here for, I think he's going to be here longer than October. I think he's going to be here through the end of the year, at least. I could see him at the absolute, I could see him retaining a full gear, maybe either World's End or Revolution next year, being that place where he drops the title, and it would be to, like, I'm going to go out and say a Hangman Page. I think Hangman Page will be the top heel at that point in time, especially with the way the direction of his character is going. So we have that. Again, the match was great. I did see a lot of Darby, or a couple of comments made earlier about Darby with all these spots and him landing on his back, not once but twice. Got the steel ring post out on the floor with the exposed canvas. Like, the guy needs to stop taking bumps, but he's been doing it for 5 years. I don't know. He's made of adamantium somehow.
Yeah.
One of those things. So, yeah.
I mean, we also got to think, too, when we're fantasy booking this, and we're bringing up these possible scenarios and mentioning a lot of people's names. We haven't mentioned the name Will Ospreay. I mean, he's got to figure in this world title picture here in the next year at the very latest. I mean, he really does. I don't know how long you can have him doing. You know, I know he did this on his own. You know, he was the guy again who proposed that he lose to Swerve to get people off of thinking he was going to win the world title very soon. We can't wait too long on this thing. I mean, the guy who clearly in the spring and early summer was the dude with all the momentum. And I mean, I don't want to see him wait a year and a half or something on this. So, I mean, he's got to factor in that title picture at some point too. Right now, if I was a betting man, I would say Brian retains. So yeah, I'm on that point. As far as Brian and Nigel goes, I mean, it wasn't what their Ring of Honor matches were, but I thought it was really good. Yeah. And for Nigel McGuinness to have that singles match that good after that long off was incredible. And for all these dorks on social media, continue to say, well, why are they wrestling? I don't get it. Why haven't they explained it better to me? Get a life, man. I mean, they put together a video package. It wasn't super long, but they told you the gist of the whole thing about how they started off together in Ring of Honor, and then he got hurt, and he basically, you know, that he never got his chance to shine on the world stage. And for God's sakes, he's been talking on commentary about Brian for a year. I mean, I don't know what some of these people want. If you don't understand why they're wrestling and that they have a history, you should understand everything you need to know. Right, Justin?
Fucking amen, man. You just summed it up. It's all out there. I don't have any time for anybody who's complaining about AEW doesn't tell stories. They do. It takes more than, you know, a pea-sized brain to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse, your thoughts on the match and any of that?
They gave you back-to-back video packages on Collision with Nigel explaining both times as to why. Ever since he joined commentary, he's been ripping Bryan Danielson every single time he gets in the ring. I think that's more than enough. And if you didn't know it then, you could have gone back and say, why does Nigel McGuinness have a beef with Bryan Danielson? Search, put Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson in YouTube, and I think you can figure out why. They only put on a year's worth of matches that I think either Excalibur or Tony Schiavone said, and he was slightly wrong on this, but put Ring of Honor on the map nationally. I mean, we could argue that CM Punk and Samoa Joe did it, or yeah, something along those lines, but still, those two were putting on some of the best matches in America, arguably the best matches in America in 2008.
Yeah.
As for last night, it was probably about 75% of what they did in Ring of Honor. Yeah. This is Nigel's first singles match in 13 years. So Danielson's banged up. They alluded to that on commentary. They told a good story with Brian selling the right arm, doing a great job there. You saw some pretty solid chain wrestling in the mix. So it was a great, great match. And at the very end with Nigel saying thank you about a second before he taps out was kind of the nice little icing on the cake for me.
Yeah, I like that too.
Although I have seen people say, did he say thank you or fuck you? Which either way, it works beautifully.
It works either way.
I think I voiced my concerns after All In that, like, we should not expect a mid-2000s Nigel and Danielson match because of, you know, Nigel's 13 years off. But I thought they, you know, they did, you know, as good of a job as you could possibly expect. I really enjoyed the false start entrance with Danielson when they started playing his pseudo Valkyries theme song. I was like, wait, I thought Tony said that, you know, he's going to be forking over a lot of money for Europe. And the way they played that off was pitch perfect. I think the match was as good as we could have hoped for. Just top to bottom, really liked it.
I think these people that say AEW doesn't tell stories are very similar to, like, you know, I've been doing this football podcast and some football writing on the side, and I've been getting deeper into that world and trying to watch game tape and analyze stuff. It's like the people on social media that comment on stuff that you can tell only look at box scores. It's like it's the wrestling fans who are only reading results, and they're not actually watching the shows. you know, I feel like it's a kind of a similar scenario where it's like people bitch about AEW not telling stories. You're not even watching the show, so you don't know that. You know, you're glancing at the box score. You're glancing at the quick results on you know, Fightful or wherever. So no, I think they did a fine job. You know, to the point made in the chat from Andrew, it's true. Collision's viewership is not great, where Nigel has been talking about that. But look, it's an AEW show, so they've been putting it out there, and they've been putting it out there on social media, and they've been putting it out there on YouTube. So look, I think they've done what they needed to do. I don't get the complaints at all. I thought they sold the match fine. The story was clearly out there, and the match exceeded my expectations, because I was a little worried. Like you said, 13 years without a singles match, can they really live up to expectations? And they went beyond my expectations. I've seen the old matches. Yeah, not as good as that, but a hell of a good television match for 2024. Really, really liked it. Let me ask you this, to switch gears. Are the Young Bucks back? Because we've been talking about how the Young Bucks were kind of getting blah for a long time, and they didn't really see like must-see television. I thought their match with Fletcher and Ospreay was freaking outstanding. They have seemed the last couple of weeks like they're kind of getting their game back on. They also were out there on social media today with another picture with Shane McMahon, which was kind of interesting. Justin, are the Young Bucks back?
I think the Young Bucks wrestled arguably the best or second best wrestler in the world, and they wrestled arguably the most exciting up-and-comer in professional wrestling. I think that was more about the United Empire than it was about the Young Bucks, in my opinion. And that's not to take anything away from the Young Bucks. I think wrestling is one of those things that if you take an extended amount of time off, there, you know, ring rust is real. I have not heard Austin comment on that, if it's real or not. So I can't confirm that for sure, but I think ring rust is real. And, you know, Bucks didn't wrestle for a long time after they won those tag titles, and they might be getting back into their groove. But to me, that was more about Will Ospreay and in my favorite, you know, up and comer, Kyle Fletcher, who, I mean, gee, once again, going back to if AEW has truly lost Starks and Garcia, then Fletcher needs to be the young dude that they really lean on to be the future. Yeah, great, great match. Once again, curious as to where the fuck these tag titles are going next. I love the Outrunners, but that feels like a little bit of a letdown of a tag title change. You know, maybe their stardom could keep rising, but I have no idea where this thing is going.
Yeah, real quick on the Bucks. So I mean, yeah, they had the match at All Out against BCC, and I thought that match was decent. It wasn't anything blow away or something that was a must see or anything, but I did think that six man that they were in last week was outstanding. So to me, it was like, all right, they've had two matches now, 2 weeks in a row that were really, really top tier stuff. So that was kind of where I was coming from with if they're back or not. Now, as far as like storyline interest goes, we'll see. I don't really know where they're going with the tag titles either. I'm curious to find out. But, you know, it seems like they've raised their game at least between the ropes a little bit the last couple of weeks, I've felt. Jesse?
To quote a Jay-Z song from The Blueprint, still gone, never left. I think the Bucks have, yeah, I mean, look at their match with Darby and Stinger Revolution. Outstanding. That's in contention for match of the year. They followed Danielson and Ospreay at Dynasty with FTR in that ladder match. That was very good. Mm-hmm. So I think these last 4 months have been playing a different style of character, and they haven't necessarily had the competition to go and do stuff like this, unlike last night when you had, like just Justin said, Kyle Fletcher, who is, you can almost call him larger mini Will Ospreay or Will Ospreay Jr., and then Will Ospreay himself, who I know that he's worked with the Bucks in the past, and they've always put on some spectacular performances together. So I think it's just a matter of who they get in the ring with. That's not necessarily, it's a decision of whether they want to turn it on or not. It's just a matter of the ring styles and can they turn it on or not. So with the tag division, though, there isn't much there. The cupboard's super bare.
Jesse, I just want to say, I'm glad you quoted Jay-Z and not another New York hip hop artist, because I might have had to have kicked you off the broadcast.
I was just at this guy's late night party the other night.
We're watching pro wrestling, believe it or not.
And things to say about it.
I don't think I've ever told you guys this, but one of my best college history professors was Sean Combs's teacher in, I think, fifth or sixth grade. He used to teach in the Bronx. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to ask him yet what he thought of the news, but yeah, there's a little connection for you. What a douche. All right.
Well, I've always found
not my professor, Mr. Combs.
In terms of Sean Puffy Combs as a rapper, I've always found him to be extremely overrated.
What was that? Someone had a tweet about that, and they were like, the good thing about him is you could totally remove him from, you know, his entire catalog for music history, and music history wouldn't suffer whatsoever. Pretty much accurate.
From him being on songs, yes, or eliminate his lyrics. I mean, you'd have to, yeah, just play Big in its entirety, or Mace in its entirety without Diddy.
So. I know. I was listening to some Biggie on the way to school the other day that, you know, he was in the background doing his bullshit, just noises. And I'm like, oh, could they just erase him from the tape? You know, like, all that was always unnecessary anyways, you know, really, just, can we just erase him? Period.
I mean, that would be fine with me. We could use Baby Oil to ease his exit from the history of music. Just a lot of Baby Oil.
Yeah. We'll leave that there and move on. Justin, do you have anything else AEW before we throw it to the Netflix topic?
I'm just curious, thoughts on MVP showing up, and he alluded to a business. Obviously, it sounds like he is trying to get Swerve. The rumor is that at Wrestle Dream, we're going to get Swerve versus Bobby Lashley. Some eagle-eyed people on Twitter noticed that his business card said Hurt Syndicate. I would assume it's going to be Lashley and Shelton, at least. There's questions as to who the fourth man could be in this. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was great. He's awesome on the mic. I mean, I thought the whole segment was phenomenal, you know. Him and Nana was great selling the whole thing too. So yeah, I'm intrigued. Jesse,
I am intrigued. I'm just, with me and my bringing in 50-year-olds brain again, I don't really know where I lie in this, and it's not going to be short term. So I mean,
yeah. I mean, for me, it's just, as a manager, that's fine. You know,
MVP, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Lashley and Benjamin. Don't get me wrong. Bobby Lashley has defied age for how many years now? He looks this almost the same as he did back in 2005. So there's that. But
how old is he? Is he close to 50?
I think he's 50 on the nose.
Really? Wow. I didn't realize that.
If not, he's,
my God,
40. Well, no, I'm going to take that back. I think he's 48. So someone's going to have to Google that.
Yeah, 48.
If only there was a tool that we had at our.
You said 48?
I just looked it up. He's 48. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great looking for 48.
Shelton's probably the same age, because I think he graduated college the year I got to the U.
I mean, I don't 49. Need to see, I don't need to see them in the main event scene as singles or anything like this, but capitalize on their introduction with a big feud with Swerve, and then just move them into, you know, a House of the Black or House of Black style, you know, trios title. And I think that is just fine.
May have to replace them too, because there's rumors of Malakai going.
Good here. Fucking riddance. Get rid of him. Get rid of fucking Miro, Rusev, whatever you want to call him.
Yep.
We'll Jesus Christ, joint AEW, let those guys go and just give AEW Kevin Steen, if only so we can hear his original Ring of Honor theme music in a giant arena. That's all I want.
Lucha Bros probably leaving too. So
I know what the outro on this show is going to be.
Thank you. Thank you.
I knew you were going to request that immediately. I mean, talk about a trade you would do every freaking day of the week and twice on Sundays. Yeah, get rid of both of those guys and give us Kevin Steen. I mean, I think when Miro first came in, we saw some positives, but I mean, he is clearly just a problem to work with on the creative end. And yeah, I mean, I think as far as Malachi goes, he's fried. There's nothing there anymore. I mean, there's nothing I'm looking to see. So if he wants to go back to the E, go ahead. I don't think this company's going to lose anything, but I think they could really gain something if they got Kevin Steen, and I think it'd be a hell of a lot easier to work with than both of those guys.
I 100% agree with you about Malachi. I think his best days are behind him. But an important point as far as Miro goes is like it's not like he got to AEW and became a problem child. I think he was a problem going back to WWE. If you think about his stops and starts and you think about Rusev Day, and I mean, Ryan, we were in the building at WrestleMania 34 where that was a huge deal. And they never let it actually go forward, you know, and I can only assume that's because of some sort of thing happening backstage. It's like, you know, if the smell of shit keeps following you around everywhere you go, it might be you.
Yeah. Andrew asked if Malachi is a problem. I'll just say there's been problems with Malachi. There have been his own doing at times during his AEW run. We'll put it that way without revealing too much. Not so much on the creative end, but some other things happening. So I don't think he'll be missed that much. I'll just say that. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. Please give us Kevin Steen. Agree. That would be phenomenal. Look, I won't blame him if he takes the money again, but he's got to have plenty of money if he's been smart with it. And just creatively, there is nothing for him there anymore. You know, nothing at all. It would be so much better for his career and his personal enjoyment of wrestling, I would think, to do something new for a little bit. He can always go back. I'll always take him back in a few years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, AEW is going to have a big cash inflow coming in. Hopefully soon we'll be talking about it officially. But, I mean, the reports are out there about the television deal that's coming in. Probably around 170-ish billion a year with a 3 or 4 year contract. And they're also shopping content out there to maybe FS1, which will be an additional payment, you know, on top of that. So they're going to be clearing a lot of money here. So, did I say billion? Million. Yeah. Million. 170 to 200 million a year. I mean, altogether, the full length of the contract, they're going to be close to $1 billion between all their different deals. The Max situation that could be happening, you know, we don't know all the details there and how that's going to work, but we think Max is going to be a part of it. So yeah, exciting times for them. When it comes down to it, it's all about the TV money. We know that the ticket sales are lagging, but look, TV is where the bread is buttered. And in today's pro wrestling, you know, WWE attendance was real bad a few years back, but they're making plenty of money off those TV contracts, you know, and that's the deal. Is eventually AEW's attendance will improve. One would think WWE's not going to stay hot forever. They're going to have their ebbs and flows, and hopefully, you know, when WWE cools off, AEW can gain some momentum. But just them being there, as we always say on the podcast, is good for wrestling, and it's good for us as fans to have choices. And speaking of choices, Justin Joint, got a lot of choices when it comes to streaming these days. And I hear that you watched a wrestling related show recently that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. If you're a pro wrestling fan and you don't want to slurp up whatever cotton candy fruit toast shit they're giving you with Mr. McMahon, I have to recommend The Queen of the Villains. And I wanted to talk about this on the podcast because I had brought it up on our Facebook page, where I'd basically said first two episodes, incredible. And then I continued watching it, and I felt like it fell off a cliff or went off the rails a little bit. And that was mostly just because of, you know, a little bit of my own Midwest American ignorance. It went off the rails for me because it really leaned into pro wrestling as borderline being a shoot in the ring. And it really lost me with that kind of stuff. And for those who don't know, the Queen of the Villains is about, once again, dumb hick and currently buzzing off of a glass of whiskey, Midwesterner. I'm going to fuck up the names. I apologize. Matsumoto, just this all-time villain who, if you talk about or you talk to any wrestling historians and you talk about the popularity of it in Japan in the mid-80s, this was like Hulk Hogan. I mean, this was 12% of the people who watched television in Japan in the mid-80s. They were watching this women's professional wrestling television. That's how good this was. And the title of the show is pretty deceiving because you assume it's just about Dump when it is not. It's about Chigusa Nagayo, god damn it, sorry, and the lioness Asuka, who Asuka Kana took her name from. But it's basically about these young women coming into their own and becoming just these uber popular, as big as anybody in professional wrestling outside of Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin. But what threw me off is there is some good criticisms on this show, but a lot of the matches are treated like shoot matches. And that really threw me off until I started digging in deeper into it. And this is something that they actually kind of did in Japan in, I think it was AJW. Fuck, I can't remember what it was called at the time. But what they would do occasionally is they would let these women shoot, try and pin each other. Everything in between pins was professional wrestling. But they would say, you can legit try and pin your opponent, and if you don't do it, it's her turn. And they would take turns doing that. And in between, only the pins is the shoot aspect of it, is just regular old professional wrestling. But that they could actually try and pin their opponents. And the show does not explain that to you, so it can be a little jarring. Because like there's few things that annoy me more with professional wrestling than TV shows trying to portray them as real. Mm-hmm. But to see the rise of these women and what they achieved in Japan is just, it's incredible. It's, I think, the best representation of professional wrestling in a ring that I've ever witnessed, better than The Wrestler starring Mickey Rourke. I really, it's something that I criticized it after two episodes, but it just sat with me for days after. And I just keep thinking about it more and more. And it's one of those things that after you watch it, if you dig into it, there's lots of stuff on Twitter or online where they tell you where you can find these actual matches, the actual footage, and you can watch it. And it is just so entertaining. I could not recommend it enough. The Queen of the Villains, deceptive title. It's not just about Dump. It's about all these women who made just an incredible impact on this sport we love.
Wow. High praise. I am very intrigued. I'm going to have to check it out. Sounds really good. Did your wife watch it with you?
Nope. It was just me. Okay. Five episodes, 1 hour. I started it when I was on my own, so didn't include the wife. And oh, that's the other thing. It's subtitles, you know, it's Japan produced. They do have English dubs. I cannot do that watching a show. It just drives me nuts. Apparently Alexa Bliss is the English dub for one of the characters, but yeah, it is subtitles. But if you can handle that, I just could not recommend it enough. I am honestly considering a second viewing.
Wow. I'll check it out. I'll let you know. Very nice. Guys, this has been a fun show. Fun post-birthday show for Justin, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great participation in the chat. We got a great group tonight. Appreciate everyone who tuned in live or after the fact on the podcast feed. Appreciate you all. If you're here right now, do us a favor. Hit that like button if you haven't already. It'll help us out in the YouTube algorithm. Really, really appreciate that. Thank you all for making this interactive. That's when these shows are the most fun. Like I said, next week we're going to be doing TRN Classic. So I don't know. We'll probably won't have a main feed show until we review Bad Blood on the weekend. So during the week, it's just going to be the classics. So if you want to get access to that, again, join the Patreon page. You can join us live or become a TRN Plus member to get the video feed. Patrons also get the podcast feed of classics, plus all the other bonus shows like Extra and Unplugged. So support us over there. We'd really, really appreciate it. Subscribe to the channel while you are here. And I mean, that's all I got. Jesse, any parting comments?
As I alluded to when you froze for a second, Ryan, I will be dropping an Unplugged. I'm probably record it right after the Vikings-Packers game on Sunday.
Okay.
So there's that. So you'll have two shows for the Patreon subscribers. So if that's not enough for you to join, I don't know what else is. There's not thousands, but there's hundreds of hours of bonus content in there. Yeah. So
that's for sure.
Lots of classic stuff.
Thousands. Yeah, it's getting close to thousands of hours. That's it is hundreds of hours, though, right now, for sure. All right, Justin, appreciate it, my friend. Again, happy birthday. Hope you had a good
one.
Thank
you. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you all next time. Have a great weekend. Take care, everyone.
And I ain't your friend, and you're not mine. This difference helps me cross the line. Every time I'm confronted, I'm unafflicted by my actions. So this is the result of a game. Victory at the cost of pain. Like a freight train, and you're tied to the tracks. No way to escape, there's no coming back. You're in my way, and I haven't got the time to play.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.